and our Savior. No one deserves the glory. No one deserves the honor. Father, I thank you for this sanctuary. I thank you for the holy place in that we're in right even now. A holy place to enter in to God's presence. To enter in through worship. To enter in through praise. To enter in through thanksgiving. Taking time to just stand before you and allow your holy presence, your glory, to just fall and rest upon us. Just as Jesus was in the River Jordan and the Holy Spirit, like a dove, came and rested upon him. Father, I thank you that today is a day of rest for you, for each and every person here today, under the sound of my voice. A sweet presence to enter into. A place of rest to enter in. A place to lay everything down and receive all that God has. Because it's found in Him, no one else. No one else deserves the glory like He deserves. No one else deserves the praise like He does. No one else deserves the love that He does. Father, I thank you for each and every person here this morning. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Holy Spirit. Power. In love, peace, resting on people right now. Not just resting on top, but entering in to the hearts of man. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And it's for you. It's been provided for every one of you to receive it, to live in it. To bask in it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I believe there is a prophecy that someone has in their spirit that they need a release in the presence of God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I can give a tongue and interpretation. I feel it in my spirit to release it. But I know the Lord speaks to people. And the church is not just me. It's the body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 What I'm about to do is give you a tongue and an interpretation. And the reason I am is because it's in my spirit. I don't know the words to say. But I know, as I release, the Holy Ghost is going to give me the words. It's going to bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the body of Christ. And that's what prophecy does. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know somebody hasn't. Jesus. We're waiting on you, Lord. Actually, we're not waiting on God at all. Thus saith the Spirit of grace, I am with you. I am for you. I will guide you and I will lead you. Come unto me, all who are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Look unto me, for in me is your salvation. Come unto me, all who are heavy laden. Come unto me, says the Lord, for I am with thee. Don't run. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Do not faint, for I am with you. I know what you have need of, says the Lord, and I have the answer for you. It is found in me. So find rest in me. Come unto me. I am here and I am for you, says the Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Do not run from God. Do not run. Oh. All that you have need of is found in Him. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for what you're doing in this church. Do not get comfortable, church. Do not get comfortable. We supply comfortable chairs, but they're not for you to get comfortable in. I know many church services aren't like this. And many church services do not have the Spirit of God. So they're going to be different. But many do. Many do. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's something about the Holy Spirit that you have to just allow Him to do what He wants to do. Amen. You just have to. I can't explain it. I can't conjure it up. I have no control over what He wants to do. All I have control over is yielding my vessel. Come on. And I just want to share that with you. I'm not going to hit you. Just yielding your vessel to what God has. And today, it's going to be a great time. I'm going to have Pastor Lacey come up as we do baby dedication today. Yes, you need that. As we do baby dedication today, this is a special, special time.
Amen.
And I'm not going to share much, but this is what I'm going to share with you. That when you establish and you dedicate something to the Lord, it's sanctified and it's set apart.
Amen.
At that very moment. So when you gave your heart to Jesus, you set your life apart to God. And what we're about to do is the parents, the authority in the home, is setting their baby, their child, apart for God.
Yes.
And what that does is that allows the kingdom of heaven to bring all of its force, all of its anointing, all of its protection, all of its healing, all of its provision to be allowed to flow into that child's life in the very beginning before the enemy can even try to do anything. There is so much power in dedicating a child unto the Lord. We discredit it or we look at it as a religious ceremony, and it is far from that.
Yes.
It's really a spiritual time to be in agreement as a church and as a family of God to set that child apart, to run the path and with the purpose that God has for it. So I don't take this time lightly at all, because we are saying, enemy, you have no right to this child, and we're going to do every single thing in our power from this day forward for that child to be raised in the things of God.
Amen. Well, we'll just have the Lloyd family come up. Amen. They should be online because they have some. They have some family members that couldn't be here today. So I don't know why I volunteered to do this because I'll probably cry. Such a blessing for the Lloyd family, and all the boys have been dedicated except for our sweet little Austin here. And so that's what we're going to do today. As I was praying about this, I think it's so important to understand that all children are a blessing from the Lord. All children.
Amen.
And it says in Psalms 139:13, I took it out of the New English Translation. It says, "Certainly you made my mind and heart. You wove me together in my mother's womb." So the Lord knew this precious child as he was being woven together in his mother's womb. Every child, every life in the mother's womb is life, and it's a gift, and we get to celebrate it. In Psalms 127:3, it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Children are a reward, and I want to challenge you parents to never look at your children as not being a reward. They are a blessing and a gift from God. We just get to be stewards of them for a little while. But they're really the Lord's. And when you can see your children as the Lord's, you don't take the credit. It's all the glory to God because he has a plan and a purpose individual for each child. Because that's how good of a God he is. And I was thinking about Hannah in 1 Samuel. And she prayed for a son. Are you happy? He's such a happy baby. It says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked for of him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. So I know for a fact, because I wasn't there too long after this little guy was born, Michaela was there, that this baby already has been, from the moment he took his first breath, we have said he is for the Lord. And these two little ones too. Amen. And Jesus loved the children. Every time the children were brought to him, he wanted to lay hands on them and bless them. And he rebuked his disciples when they tried to keep the children away. So the children are so important to the Lord. And you as a church family have an important part in these little children's lives too. Because you're here to look after them as well. And to make sure that you're speaking blessings over them and praying for them. And coming alongside of their parents to help them as well. So I just have a few, I have a couple paragraphs for Mike to read. I'm going to hand him the paper now. Just kidding, Mike. So I just have a few vows here that I would like to just charge you with. And if you agree, you can say, "I do." And if you don't agree, then we have problems. No, I'm just kidding. Do you promise to devote all your efforts towards establishing a meaningful relationship with God by relying on the completed saving work of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to lead and guide your life, knowing that the lifestyle that you model will have an impact on your children more than what you say? If you agree, say, "I do." I do. And do you agree too? Yes, I do. Do you promise to commit yourself to providing an environment where Austin can develop his unique God-given gifts and talents through modeling, training, and education? If you do, say, "I do." Do you? Yes. Big brothers are important. Do you promise to devote intentional time with Austin to prayer and reading the Bible, church attendance, devotions, and outreaches? If you do, say, "I do." Good. And do you promise to model healthy, God-honoring relationships by loving each other as Christ loved the church and dying to self? Yes. Yes. And do you as the church family promise to devote your time to help raise this little one up in the way that he should go in the Lord? If you do, say, "I do." Or yes. Good. Amen. So we're going to pray a blessing over him.
Yeah.
Did you want to do that?
Yeah.
And I just want to say that if you don't know this family and the testimony of how they started coming to church, is that okay for me to share? Mike was sitting in a tree stand and started hearing us from the tent. And I just want to commend both of you because you've changed the trajectory of your children's lives by making your decision for Christ. And your whole family, it's different, right? And I'm so proud of both of you. And so we're so blessed by this family. Amen? And
Amen.
What they've done. Amen. So we want to pray a blessing. So if you just reach your hands towards baby Austin here, a little sleep high. Do you want to pray, Pastor Ellie?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we just agree together. Where two or more are gathered, you're in the midst. And Father, I thank you for the covenant that you have with Mike and Morgan, Lord God. And I thank you that the blessing of heaven is upon this family from the top all the way down to little Austin, Father God. And I thank you for provision. I thank you for blessing. I thank you for peace and joy in the Holy Spirit upon each and every one of them. But Father, right now we dedicate Austin to you. We set him apart for you, Lord God, that the enemy has no right to him and cannot touch him, Father God. I thank you that the whole household is in agreement together, Father God, in one accord, serving you, living for you, and in you, Lord God, we have life and life more abundant. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, for baby Austin, Father God. I thank you that he's not going to know anything but the Lord, that you're going to protect him and watch over him every day, Lord God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Surround him and guide him, Lord God. Thank you that the evil one has no power over him in Jesus' name. Thank you that as he is raised up in the Lord, he has all that he has need of, Father God. You surround him with your angels and your protection, Lord. And we thank you for this time, Father God, that he is yours and you are his. In Jesus' name, if you agree together, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you, brother.
We're going to have cake for Austin's dedication right after service as well. Praise God. Well, we bless you all, and we're excited, and I have a gift for him, but I think I left it in my car, so I'll get it to you later. Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. God is good. He is so, so good. And what really blesses me, a lot of things bless me, but what really blesses me is when a father and a mother come in agreement under the covenant of God. And it brings great power and authority that the enemy cannot stop. And when Cornelius accepted the Holy, got saved, accepted the Holy Spirit, and his whole household was saved, I'm telling you, that's what the Lord is doing. He is saving the whole households. He is bringing in multitudes into the kingdom of God. And I charge the church, it's our duty to do everything in our power to pray and to declare and to love families and children in the kingdom of God. Amen. 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 Well, here we are. We have baby dedications, but I'm telling you right now, the word that the Lord has for you this morning is truly going to change your trajectory in your life, your marriage, your ministry, your family, every area. Even your prayer time will change when you get a hold of this message this morning. This will literally cause you to see things differently and to believe differently no matter what it looks like. And the title of my message today, or the Lord's message, I should say, is Eyes of Faith. God gives us sight in the spiritual realm to see even when we cannot see naturally. And when you develop that in your spirit and you receive that word that you can see his promise through the eyes of faith before it's in the natural, you can pray, you can declare, and you can live in a place of victory every single moment of every day because you're seeing it through faith, not through the physical realm. Not through the physical realm. And I want to start out and say, we don't let anyone stop you from the miracle or the ministry God has for you. Do not let others' words dictate what you see through the eyes of faith and what the Lord is speaking to you through His Scripture and by His Spirit. See, the Lord's going to reveal things to you by the Spirit, and you got to be able to see them with the eyes of your heart, not through what the world is saying. For instance, for healing. For healing, you got to be able to see healing for yourself. Whether the doctor says anything, whether how you feel should not dictate what you see through the eyes of faith. And I'm going to share a scripture in Luke, and you can turn there. It's in Luke 18, and it's about the blind man. He saw things, he saw his miracle, even though he was blind. Think about that. He saw his miracle. He saw his healing. He saw his promise. He knew what Jesus had for him, even though he couldn't physically see at all. That is the eyes of faith that we must walk and live by every day. Every day,
through the promise of God, you can see what God's word says about you, and you can declare it and walk in it, even though you cannot physically see it, or you may not feel it, or nobody else is saying it. Nobody else may be saying a promise of God at your Easter dinner, family dinner. But through the eyes of faith, you know what God's saying concerning His will and His plan for your life. Amen. And you can live in that place every day. Every day you can see God's provision and His promise coming into you, being a part of who you are continually. Amen. Literally, continually. Yes. Amen. Amen. If you cannot see it, how do you know it's available? If you cannot see God's promise in Scripture, you don't know it's available for you. So if we don't hear the Word of God, if the minister doesn't preach the Word of God, if we don't devote time to read the Word of God, how are we going to know what to see? We don't know what to see till we hear the truth and the promise that's available for us. You don't know what's available till you know. Think about that. You don't know what's available when you go to the doctor till the doctor tells you what's available. Then you make a decision, right? But through God, in the realm of the Spirit, and through the Word of God, you can understand the kingdom of God and see it. You can see the kingdom. You can see the promise when you hear about it. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. So when you hear the Word, your faith sees it, and then you start walking in the way that God has for you, and you don't let anything else dictate what that Word was for you. That's walking by faith. But if you never hear the Word, you can't walk by faith because you're not hearing the Word of God. Or if you're hearing the ways of the world, you walk in the ways of the world because that's all you're seeing. And that's where the church can, that's where believers can stumble and trip up because they're getting their eyes on the world instead on the promise. And when you get it on the promise, you don't want anything else but the promise. That's what causes me to go soul winning and pray with people. Why? It's a burning desire of the promise of God planted on the inside of me. And I literally see people getting saved. When I go to chaplain, I see people accepting the Lord. I see breakthrough in their life. I see healing in their life. Not because I know their report. I don't get their report when I go into the hospital. It's illegal for me to know what their issues are. Literally, it's illegal to know. They print out the room number and the name. And that's all they give me, a little strip of paper. They cut all the details out. And guess what? I have to walk by faith and believe God, no matter what the problem is, Jehovah is going to fix it.
Yes. Amen.
Jehovah's going to fix it. The Holy Ghost is going to show up. I don't have to know the details to know the remedy.
Come on.
You hear what I'm saying? I don't need to know the details personally to know the remedy. Even this morning, I don't have to go and check you in at the door and say, give me your prayer request this morning, so I can find the scripture and then minister to you. No, by the Spirit of God, He's going to reveal to me, yes, they're going to find the promise that God has through the Word of God. And through the preaching and the teaching of the Word, their faith is going to grab a hold of it. And they're going to receive what each of you have need of. All around the world is going to receive. Haiti, Uganda, they're going to receive what God has for them through the eyes of faith.
Amen.
And when you can see that you can live a life like that, you don't get caught up with the details. You're not part of the gossip session that goes on. Amen. Even at your job, you don't need to be a part of that because what you're hearing is either increasing your faith or decreasing your faith. It's either planting fear and doubt or it's planting faith in righteousness. And when you understand that, you don't want to hear anything but the promise. I don't want to hear the negative. Let me say it this way. If you need a prayer request, yes, I will hear what you're believing God for. Notice the difference.
Yes.
What are you believing God for can be talked about.
Yes.
But if you're just talking to talk to share your struggle and your issue without having a belief of faith with it,
yeah,
then you're not promoting the eyes of faith. you cannot see your victory because you're stuck in your misery. You can have misery. There can be trials and struggles, but your eyes of faith have to be on what God's promise says. So you see your promise even though you're in the midst of a struggle. I'm not denying the struggle. I'm not denying the trial. I'm not denying the temptation. But if that's what you're speaking and that's what you're seeing, that's where you're staying.
Come on.
But when you have vision for the promise, you don't stay where you are. And I tell people all the time, you plant yourself in New Freedom, you will not be the same. You will be changed in Jesus' name. Not because I'm anything, or my Pastor Lacey, or Pastor Joe, or anybody else is a great whatever. It's because the Spirit of God will come upon you, and He will do a work on the inside of you. And your faith will grab a hold of you, and you'll say, I'm not the same person I was. I don't see life the same way I see life. God has a ministry for me. There's giftings on the inside of me. Nobody ever said. They told me I was a loser. They told me I wasn't good enough. But God says otherwise. And then you get your eyes on the otherwise, which is wisdom of God. And then you see it, and then you start walking, and you're like, my golly, I can start a young person's group. My golly, I can do a Bible study. My God, I can walk around town and share the love of Jesus with people when I never want to talk to anybody ever. I want to be quiet. I'm a quiet person. I don't want to interact with anybody. Then all of a sudden the Spirit of God says, that's not how I designed you. I give you a holy boldness and an authority to speak into people's lives and to pray the prayer of faith over people and deliver the captives, set them free. Amen. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You got to see yourself seeking and saving through the name of Jesus those who are lost. And you don't get caught on what your limitations are. You give your limitations to God, and God pours out a supernatural witness on the inside of you by the Spirit of God. And that's what you see yourself doing. You don't see yourself stuck where you are. This is what I'm trying to get across today is, you have eyes of faith. You can see things through the Spirit of God, by the Spirit, through His Word, that nobody else can see about you. If we only receive what others think about us, oh, how shameful our lives will be. We must see it through what God's Word says. We must see it through what God's Word says. So today I'm believing. I am truly believing by faith. By faith, I am believing for your eyes of faith to see farther than they've ever seen before. Yes. For you to be able to say, God has wonderful things for me. Amen. God has a plan and a purpose for me. Your spirit man becomes built up. You get out of church today and you're like, you know what? I am not the same person. Yeah. I am not just a man or a woman. I'm not just a blob of matter that's here for a couple years. No, God has ordained me and called me for such a time as this. Yeah. And I see myself as a man and a woman of God, fit for the Father's use. Yeah. And God's going to use me supernaturally to heal people, to save people, and to set people free. I am made to do the Lord's work. Amen. Amen. You're made to do the Lord's work. And that may be at your job. It may be in your... Who knows what the Lord has for you personally. But He has something for you. And you must see, God's got something good for me. Amen. If you're constantly thinking bad things, you need to change where your eyes are. Amen. Your eyes are on your circumstance instead of the remedy. When you see, when Joshua and Caleb saw the promised land, they were not moved by what they saw physically. They were moved off of the word of God, which says, go into the land, it's yours. That is your land. That's your promised land. Yes. Go in and take that land, it's yours. But everybody else, all the naysayers, what did they say? Oh man, there's giants in the land. They're big, they're large people. We're just great. We're very small in their sight. But what did the eyes of faith say? God's promise says this. And they spoke it and they walked in it.
Yes.
Amen. For 40 years they had issues.
Why? Because their eyes were not on the promise and what God's word says. Yeah. Their eyes were on the situation, murmuring and complaining about what Moses wasn't doing. All this stuff of what wasn't getting done. Oh, we had the promise was already there. And they didn't know it. God did not create the promised land during the 40 years when they were looking for it. It was already there. If they saw it, they could have entered in a lot sooner. Many people can enter the kingdom of God a lot sooner because the church does what it's supposed to do. God's wrapping things up very quickly. And I'm commissioning you to go and be what God's called you to be, because there's people waiting on you. There's people waiting on you to share the love of Jesus with them. God has people lined up for you to tell the good news about Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
I see it. I see it in the Spirit. I see it. Every day is a soul-winning day. Every day is an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with people. Yeah. Every day. Every day. You say, well, you're a minister. I'm a pastor. Everybody should have an innate desire when the love of God touches you to love other people and care about them.
Yeah.
And want to see change in their life. Hopefully you found it to Luke chapter 18. See, I see a destiny. As a pastor, I see a bright future in each and every person. There's not a decrease. It's always increase. It's always multiplication. It's always your latter years are going to be better than your former years.
Yeah.
There's not a, oh, I'm going to get plateau and go back downhill. No, it's a constant.
Yeah.
It's a guy. I think of Billy Graham. It's like the ministry is still going. He's not even here.
Yeah.
The impact he made, it's still going. And it's increasing. And the millions that he ministered to, they're ministering. To the next generation's ministering, and it's expanding. Think about Jesus. That's where it started. The church started with 3 and 12 and 70 and then 3,000 and 5,000, and then it just multiplied from there. But it started with Jesus. It started with one.
Yeah.
And the ministry is expanding to millions. Hundreds of millions have received Jesus' ministry. Hallelujah. You have to take a step back, get out of your mind, get out of your flesh, and see through the eyes of your spirit. Luke 18. Faith sees it. Faith is persistent.
Yes.
Amen. God is always moving, and you can always be moving with God. God is always moving. If you can see and know that God is constantly moving, His Spirit is constantly blowing, you can constantly flow in that Spirit. You can constantly flow with God. Luke 18. If you can't tell that I'm not passionate about this, because I know this is going to change your life. When you see God the way God sees you, your life's never the same again. When you see your life the way God sees you, your life is never the same again. We limit God because we see ourselves just in our own flesh, in our own way. But when you see it the way God sees it, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fit for the Father's use. I'm telling you, you are made perfect in His image. Amen. And when you see yourself like that, you don't worry about what people say. I am a child of the Most High God. He created me in His image.
Yeah.
Amen. And you don't let what people say dictate what you're doing. You do what you need to do. Amen. I do not let people dictate what I'm doing as a minister. I need to get it from God.
Yes.
I need to keep my eyes on God and allow His Spirit to minister to me. Because if I do not do what I'm supposed to do, and the church, I'm a shepherd, and you're the sheep. If I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do or halfway doing it, it goes right down into the church what's going on. So if there's limitations, I ask myself, what is going on, Lord? What do I need to adjust? Because it comes from the top down, and I know Jesus is perfect. So Jesus didn't mess up. And I need to ask the Lord, what am I flowing where I need to flow? Am I doing what I need to do? Lord, show me what it is. And I put my eyes on Him instead of the circumstance. Because I know if I keep my eyes down, I'm going to stay down.
But when I lift my eyes up, I know I'm going up. Yeah. Amen. So we got to keep our view in faith going forward.
Amen.
I know you have to be at Luke 8 now. Even if you don't know your Bible, you found it by now. Amen. Luke 18, excuse me, verse 35. This is a blind man, and this is Jesus coming into Jericho. And I'm going to give you some points in these like five verses that are going to show you the way to live and to walk. And if you get a hold of this principle, you'll never be the same again. You will never walk and talk the same way again if you understand these five verses. Watch this now. Then it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, and he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." "Your faith has made you well," or excuse me, "he received your sight, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. So in this story, we can see something here. We have a blind man. We all know what that is, a man that cannot see. Okay? Very simple. But when he heard that Jesus was passing by, even though he could not see him, he knew that Jesus had something for him.
Yeah.
And he cried out because he knew his miracle was found in Jesus.
Yeah.
And when we know that our life and our miracle and our sustenance and everything about us is found in Christ, and we know that Jesus died on the cross, and his spirit is everywhere all the time, Jesus is passing us all that he's surrounding us. All we need to do is cry out. We don't need to see it physically to know that God is there. He cried out because he knew who was there. Watch this now. There was a certain blind man that sat on the road begging. So once he heard noise, what spurred in that beggar? People are there. I hear people, it's time to start begging because people are around and they're going to give to me because I'm blind and I have need. That's where his flesh started. But everything changed when he realized who was there. Not that it was just people, but it was Jesus, the Son of God.
Yeah.
That changed everything.
Yeah.
He couldn't see who it was. I don't think you're getting what I'm saying. He could not physically see a single person. He couldn't tell whether they were Jesus' feet or John the Baptist's feet or some other feet. He didn't know the person till somebody said Jesus.
Yeah.
And he didn't physically see it, but through the eyes of faith, he said, "There's my miracle."
Yeah.
That is the miracle worker. That is the Son of God. That is where who I need to talk to, who I need to get a hold of. And I will jump over mountains. I'll be led by anybody to get to him.
Yeah.
And you find out all through Scripture, the woman with the issue of blood pressed in. Pressed in. The man at the pool of Bethesda, he cried out to God. You see it time and time again where they pressed in. They didn't have to physically see him. They believed God and their faith drew them to touch the hem of his garment. Or to cry out and say, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 36, in hearing a multitude passing by. Do you realize when you're blind, you can't see anything. So when you hear something different than the normal, you start getting excited. Because that's the only option you have. If you don't have anybody to lead you anywhere, you're not going anywhere. Because you cannot see. But notice, faith comes by hearing. And once the name of Jesus was spoken, notice what it said, verse 37. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by.
That is the key to this story. Jesus showed up. No matter the situation, no matter if he was blind, no matter if he was deaf, because Jesus handled the deaf ones too.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you're going through.
That's right.
It doesn't matter the physical realm or what the doctors are saying. It doesn't matter the prognosis. It doesn't matter what other people have said about you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. I'm telling you right now, that baby, Austin, that was dedicated, I'm telling you, God's got a wonderful work for him.
Yeah.
And he's going to grow up and he's going to fulfill that work in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Why? Because I see it through the eyes of faith. I'm not waiting till he's 20 to say, my golly, I hope he does something good in his life. That's the world talk.
Come on.
I'm declaring in Jesus' name that my son is going to serve the Lord all the days of his life. My daughter is going to serve the Lord all the days of her life. I'm going to serve the Lord. I see it. There's no other option. Jesus passed by me and I received him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And you can too.
Yes.
Amen. You say, well, I'm already saved. Well, guess what? God's got more for you and you can pull on him.
Yes.
By faith, I see it. I see it. You're soul winners. I see it. You just got to see yourself in it. That's the hardest part as a pastor, is to see the promise that God has on people's lives, but they need to see it for themselves. That is the most difficult thing, whether it's counseling or whatever it is. You know what God has for them. You know, you see the potential. You have it on the inside. Wow. That person is phenomenal. That person, God is going to use them supernaturally to shake the nation.
Yes.
But they can't see it themselves. It breaks your heart and it causes a desire to cry out to God like Paul did. I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in them. He didn't have to physically see all of them. He was praying with earnest prayer. Jesus prayed earnestly. And his tears were like drops of blood. He had an earnest faith, a desire, an urgency to see lives changed and transformed. Father, not my will, but your will be done. He saw, he knew what he had to do. But he did not let the law, he did not let the Sadducees and Pharisees dictate what God had for him. God had a mission for him and a purpose for him, and it was to die for humanity. And he was not going to let anybody, even Peter chopping off Malchus's ear, stop him from going to the cross. Why? He knew. He saw it through the eyes of faith. His body didn't like it, but he knew that's what he had to do. There's many people, believers, that have been martyred for their faith. They stood in the place where God needed them to stand. And they did it knowing the potential for the physical that could happen. But they did not let that deter them. They said, I know what God's calling me to do. And I'm going to stand here. As long as the Lord has me to stand, I'm going to stand. Amen. Amen. Verse 37. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus heard the cry of faith out of the blind man's mouth. Jesus heard it. Because I'm sure there was other people that could see. They're like, Jesus, come over here. Be a part of this. Come watch me. Come see this. Because Jesus was awesome. He was a miracle worker. So wherever he went, the multitudes followed. But why did the woman with the issue of blood get Jesus' attention when other people were thronging him constantly? Continually, people were touching Jesus. But the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus stopped. Who touched me? They put a demand on Jesus. The blind man put a demand on Jesus. Son of David, have mercy on me. What is your demand? What is your demand? You say, I can't demand anything from God. You'll never see anything from God. Faith puts a demand on God. And many people, many churches will not teach this.
because God's holy and we're just down here. You're going to stay down here when God already sees you seated in heavenly places with Him. He already paid for a place in the throne room for you. But you're seeing yourself down here and He sees you up here. Disconnect. Total disconnect. When you see yourself the way God sees you, you will raise right up out of the muck and the mire and you'll get the victory every single time. Every single time. You say, how can you say that? Through the eyes of faith, nothing's impossible with God. Yeah. Through the eyes of faith. Faith overcomes the world. How do you overcome? By faith. So when you see things by faith, you see yourself overcoming. Even in the midst of whatever the situation is, you already see yourself getting the victory. I see myself dancing and jumping on the streets of gold. I see myself there. Do I want to get there instantly? No, God's got something here. But I still see myself in the future in heaven. I see myself there. So everything I do is in preparation for there. See how this operates. I want you to get this on the inside. The operation of a believer is all about eternity. Everything we should be doing here on earth should be about eternity. Yeah. That's a total change of subject, but I want you to see that. You will have a different perspective in life when your life is geared and your vision is on eternity. Yeah. People are more important than material things. Your family becomes more important than your job. Why? Because eternity. You're preparing. Baby dedication, preparing for eternity. Yeah. Water baptism, preparing for eternity. Soul winning, preparing for eternity. Praying with people, preparation for eternity. Yeah. All of our work should be in preparation for eternity. Because that's what's going to build our mansion in heaven. You have to see it that way. Yeah. Through the eyes of the Spirit. It's not about your ministry. It's not about your name getting plastered on something. Or having so many likes. It's not eternity. You're not here. We're not here to please man. We're here to please God. Amen. And when your eyes are on God, that's all you want to do. And people will get so mad at you when you sound spiritual. But deep down, their eyes are on the wrong thing. And they rather pull you down than come up to where you are. Pastor Lacey and I have had many discussions about this. When you serve the Lord and you're living for God and you just can't go to everything and be a part of everything. Yeah. It stinks that, you know, people invite you to things you're like, the Lord's saying don't be a part of that. And it's like, man, I can't hang out with the people I can't do what I used to do. God's calling me to a higher level. There's a different standard that He has for me because I'm seeing myself going somewhere. But the way to get there is I have to submit and obey to every little leading He's leading me to. Every little detail I gotta get the word of the Lord on. Amen. It's not about my will, it's about His will. Yeah. Because I see myself there, to get there, I have to be in Him in everything. And whatever is not in Him is keeping me from getting there. Get that in your spirit. Get that on the inside, church. If you want to get to where God wants you to be, you got to do exactly what He's telling you to do. The blind man wanted his healing more than anything else. So he cried out. And notice what it says here. Verse 39. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. There is nothing worse than people saying, oh, don't be so spiritual. You don't have to go to that. You don't have to be a part of that. Naysayers. God gave you a word to do something, and others, even in the church, saying, well, that's not possible. That's a little too big, Pastor. Property in a building's a little too much. I see it. I see the church exploding. I see the church growing. I see ministries coming out of it. I see children's ministry. I see a school in it. Yeah. You got to see these things to be able. If I never saw that, we'd be content right where we are. Let's just be here, meet here, like, you know, the number that we have now. Let's just stay here. God's pleased with that.
No, your eyes are on the wrong thing. Your eyes are too small. Your ask is too small.
Yeah.
You're not seeing. If we stay the same size, we're not reaching everything God wants us to reach. Because in Scripture, the church grew daily. The church grew daily. If the church is not growing daily, we need to say, why is the church not growing daily? Or is our ask too small? Is our vision too short?
Yeah.
If you cannot see it through the eyes of faith, you'll never get there.
Yeah.
You have to see it through the eyes of faith, like the blind man.
Yeah.
Those who went before warned him. I think King James says they rebuked him. Blind man, imagine that. Blind man, his whole life, wanting his healing, and people around him saying, be quiet, be quiet. That's Jesus. He's got his own ministry to do. You shut up and you be quiet. You stay blind and be quiet and just go there and beg. That's the devil. Keeping somebody from their healing. Can you believe that? Even the disciples did it. I'll give you some references since you're so excited about it. Matthew 14:14 through 19. I'm just going to give you that reference and share about what it says. With the loaves and the fishes feeding the 5,000 is the story. Jesus knew they were hungry. And what did the disciples say? Send them away so they can get food. What did Jesus say? Sit them down and you feed them.
Yeah.
Notice the difference. The disciples were like, you've been busy. There's a lot of people just, you know, there's plenty of McDonald's around. Just let them go get their food and it'll be easier on us if we send them away and they can get their own food. But the compassion of Jesus doesn't send away. The compassion of Jesus says, come unto me. All you who are hungry, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened down, all of you who are brokenhearted, all of you who are blind. Notice Jesus' operation. He sees that he knew that wherever he went, the Father would back him up. The Father, the kingdom of God. He came and he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He got sin out of the way and he brought the kingdom of God in healing. In freedom every single time.
Yeah.
But the disciples were caught up with the number and the little bit of loaves and fishes they had. So they said, nope, send them away. And Jesus said, I don't think so. You feed them. And that's where the blessing of God. Why could they do it? Because they relied on Jesus. Jesus broke it, blessed it, and they had 12 baskets left over.
Yeah.
How in the world does that happen? It doesn't happen in the world. It happens in heaven. And when you believe heaven, you see heaven on earth.
Hallelujah.
Get that.
Yes.
You may be like, I just have some sardines and a couple pieces of bread. You have what you have need of when you have the Lord with you.
Amen.
When you have God with you, you have all you have need of. Every single one of you, as I look at you, God is with you. You have what you have need of. I don't care what anybody has said. I don't even care what the church has said about you, or your brother, or your neighbor, or your cousin, or your parent. What does God say? That's where you need to listen.
Yes.
And that's where faith starts.
Yes.
To get your eyes on God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Matthew 19, 13 and 14. The children wanted to come unto Jesus. What did the disciples say? Yeah. He's busy. He's one man, just too much. What did Jesus say? Bring the children unto me, for that is the kingdom of God.
Yes.
A child, faith, is of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
But the disciples were like, nope, too busy. Let's fast forward to today, in the present day of the church, in the present Western Christianity. What time is it, Pastor? It's awful late today. Your service is going a little long. What is Jesus saying? What is the Spirit of the Lord saying? I love each and every one of you, and I have great things for you this morning. if you'll stay and be a part of what I'm doing, I'm going to show you the miraculous.
Come on.
What disciple are you? I got things to do this afternoon. Present day parable of what took place with the loaves and the fishes and the children.
Yeah.
Oh, those children are loud. Oh, are they? They're messing with your religious time.
Come on, preach.
Think about it. I'm trying to give you an example to present day time, how we just blow by things because we have everything in order, everything's at a certain time, and if it's not the right time that I have set, we're going to have problems. Well, guess what? You're going to have problems, because if you don't do it on God's time, you're out of time. God says redeem the time, purchase. By the meaning, take the time with him, set it in order, do exactly what he's telling you to do. And that's what we do here at New Freedom. People are like, I feel the presence when I walk in. Why? Because we cultivate it. We say, yes, Lord. We come to the altar. We have intercessors. We pray. We believe God. And we set things in order for the presence of God. It takes work. We're going to have an usher meeting Monday night. Why? To get things in order to allow the presence of God, to allow the Holy Spirit to minister. Everything is done by the Spirit. And if it's not by the Spirit, it's by another spirit, and I don't want it. I don't want any familiar spirits. I don't want any half-hearted spirit in here. I don't want any dead spirit. I want the Holy Spirit, and that's it. And that's what we go for. Holy Ghost, what do you have, Lord?
Yes.
Even the messages may come across a little bit, eh. The Lord's dealing with people, even right now. Setting hearts in order to see God through the eyes of faith.
Yes.
The way the blind, he was blind all his life, could not see in the natural, but in the spirit, he's like, the Messiah, the Savior of the world is passing by here. Everybody get away from me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Think of that. That could be us. You may be blind in some areas, not physically, but other areas. And Jesus is passing by you right now. You say, I don't see Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is blowing.
Yeah.
The wind of heaven is blowing.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. It's blowing right. Your breath in your lungs is by the Spirit of God. You don't even realize. We take things for granted. Just live life. Well, my paycheck and this bill and that bill. And we go through life. Oh, I got to buy this. I got to buy that. I got to take care of this. I got to take care. Where's the Lord at? The Lord will help you do all that. Where you don't even have to work as hard at it because your eyes are on him instead of the arm of your flesh doing it all. Verse 39, then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more. Oh, we're coming into a time where there's going to be some crying out. And I believe the remnant church, the Spirit-filled, on-fire church is crying out to God, crying for revival, crying for a great awakening, because they feel it on the inside. Time is short. Time is short. We're in the end of the end. We're in the last hours of the last days. We are. And there's an urgency, a crying out for all men to be saved, for all to have an opportunity to hear the gospel. For demons to be cast out, for healing to come, for brokenness to be mended, for hearts to be mended. There's an urgency. There's an urgency in the Spirit to do this, just like the blind man. And you say, how can you get it done? Through him. Through the eyes of faith is how it's going to get done. Not through the arm of my flesh, not through my wisdom or my knowledge. Not through one congregation here at New Freedom. No, the kingdom of God
is setting the stage for a great awakening, for the coming of the soon coming King. The church is travailing. It's getting ready. It's in labor pains. The earth is travailing. You say, why are things happening? That's the earth travailing. Why are nations against nations? Biblically, Jesus is coming. Everything. One world government. One financial system. All of that. Why does it feel like cash is no more? Why are they getting rid of cash? It's not that they can't print it. Right? They print it anyway. They don't even have a backing for it. It's just numbers on a screen. Those numbers on a screen are just going to go away. Notice the trend. It's if you take a step back and look at it through the eyes of God, you can see it. You can see how it was global warming. Now it's climate change. You can see the trends. You can see the trends of cash to plastic to then getting a number to then getting a chip. Oh, I'll lose my credit card. Why don't we just put it, and I can't lose it if it's in my hand? Right? Oh, the company can't take over a $20 bill. People have been making fake cash since cash started. Why all of a sudden are undocumented or fraudulent cash all of a sudden the issue? They've been doing it forever. Yep. Think about it. You can see it. Yep. You can see it. If you focus on God, you see the nonsense. Thank you for that word. That's a nice, delicate, Christian, godly word to say. The nonsense that's taking place. Thank God for my wife and the Holy Ghost. You can see it. And businesses won't keep a lot of cash because in the name of we'll get robbed. They don't have enough cash. Banks, if you ever want to pull more than like three figures out of the bank, you got to wait because they don't have it in the bank. They got to bring it from somewhere else for you to get a couple thousand dollars. Your money you can't even get. Think about it. You spend 30 years to pay off your mortgage. You miss a year of property tax. You lose your house. It's never your house. You're living your whole life to buy your house. And then the house, if you don't pay your taxes, the house is gone. Or if they don't get it that way, when your children inherit it, you got to pay tax on it. Farmers lose land that they labored and literally slaved sweat day in and day out. Their family loses the farm because of taxes. Inheritance tax. Capital gains tax. Can you see what I'm... Can you see it? It's very easy to see when you take a step back and see the corruption. The deceit, the love of money, everywhere. Everywhere, it's everywhere. Does it bother you? Not if your eyes are on Jesus. The blind man could care less. He couldn't even see who was around him. He had no idea who was around him. Didn't care who said, be quiet. He said, shut up, son of David, have mercy on me. I'm getting my healing. That's it. He was persistent. They told him to be quiet. They said, hey, keep it down. All the more, he shouted to Jesus. But he cried out all the more. He was persistent. Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still. Notice when he cried out, Jesus was walking. Jesus stopped when he cried out. What do you think faith does when you cry out in faith? It stops Jesus to say, yes. Son or daughter, what do you have need of? There's something about crying out to God. And I'm not talking about just crying. Crying is your emotion. Yeah. Crying does nothing for God. People can cry all day long, and God's not going to move a cent. But when your faith is attached to your crying, I'm telling you, it'll stop God right where he's at and say, what do you have need of? Faith attached to crying out means all the difference in the world. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Means all the difference in the world. Oh my. I know that may ruffle some people's feathers because they cry. But when faith is attached to it, Jesus cried. Paul travailed. Yeah. People cried out to God in faith. Yeah. And that's what changes it. See, that's like repentance. When you cry out to God and repent, you turn and you live differently. You're talking about our Bible studies, the discipleship. But when you just have remorse and you cry, you're not changing anything. You got to drink more water to fill up what you lost. That's about all you're doing. Some of you got that. Anyway. Verse 40. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. Jesus was walking and stopped and told the one that was crying out, come to me. Notice, same thing with the woman with the issue of blood. When you presently cry out to God in need, Lord, have mercy on this situation. Lord, show me. Lord, give me wisdom in this situation. Father, I thank you that your word says this and you declare that and you're crying out by faith. God answers you with fire and the change takes place. Watch. Watch. So Jesus stood still, commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? I know this is not going to go over well in the present day church. But look what happens. Jesus says, what do you want me to do? Jesus did not say, what can I do for you? Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus put a demand on their faith. Yes. He put a demand on their faith. Yeah. Churches do not teach this. They just say, go to God, and whatever he gives you, he gives you. Hopefully it's good. No. What do you want? Specifically, what do you want? Why did Jesus do that? Mm-hmm. Jesus did that to show whether his faith was real or not. Mm-hmm. That was a faith test. Whether you're just coming for a handout or whether you are really believing for something. And I know that sounds brash, but I'm telling you, if we go to God, we got to know what his word says about our situation, declare it, believe it, and receive it. Because if we are not specific, that is why we miss our prayers being answered. Our faith is not attached to what we're believing for. We're just hoping for something. I'm hoping my situation changes. I'm hoping my finances change. Now, what are you declaring? My God shall supply all of my needs. Amen. Every need that I have, my God, my God, my personal God, my Lord and my Savior, Jehovah, Jireh, my provider is going to provide for me. And thank you, Lord, that you're providing. All my debts are paid in Jesus' name. Every bill that I have, in Jesus' name, you're providing that. When you go on a trip, thank you, Lord, that the plane, everything functions on that plane the way it should function, and I will get where I need to get to. See, we need to talk to God specifically. This is what I'm going through. You're like, well, he sees all things. He knows. He's waiting for your faith to attach to what he already knows. He knows what you have need of. He came so all would be saved. He knows everybody needs him. But he can't just go out there and say, I'm picking you. I'm picking you. You're saved now. No, your faith, ask Jesus into your heart. You place a demand on the blood and you get washed clean as snow. Yes. See how this works? Your healing works the same way. Lord, what pain is in my body? My eyes I put on you through faith. Not what I feel like, but what I desire. Lord, thank you that by your stripes I am healed. Thank you that every iniquity, that is the benefit. Psalms 103. Every benefit is mine in Jesus' name. I see it. Yeah. You have to see it through the eyes of faith. Yeah. Not the eyes of fear. Fear will never speak the truth. Fear will deny the truth and run the other way. But faith says specifically, this is what I have need of, Lord. But you say, how can you talk to God that way? By faith. I know that's my dad. I come to my dad. And ask for things. Even when I was younger, Dad, I need this. Dad, can I have this? Dad, can you show me this? Not in a way of wanting just everything poured out so I didn't have to do anything. But in a way of revealing to me, you know what I have need of, Dad. Please show me what it is that I need to do here. There's a difference. There's a difference. When you see the remedy, everything else seems less important. When you have the answer to something, you don't care what other answers there are. When you take a test and you have A, B, C, and D with different answers, and you know the answer C, you don't have to read A, B, and D. You already know the answer. Except for the world tries to trip you up and say, yeah, A and C is letter D. I know I'm getting a little off on you. But when you take a test, they try to throw some things in there to mix you up. But when you know that you know Jesus is the Son of God, you don't have to ask or study any other religion. I don't need to know too much about, yeah, I understand it's good to know what other people are thinking so you can minister to them. But who are you ministering to? And what are you ministering? You're not ministering what they know. You're ministering what you know and what He's done for you. Amen. Your testimony is not what they're going through. Your testimony is what the Lord has done in you. Amen. So it's good to know the primary source. Amen. It's good to know the truth because that's where freedom is. Amen. You see what I'm saying? We look at ways to do things, but when we know the way, we don't have to look at other ways. You don't have to shop around for your salvation when you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to try to culminate something or work something out when you know it's a free gift from heaven. Yeah. You receive it. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. 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 Final thoughts here. So he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" See, Jesus knew what he had need of. If I walked up to my son and I knew he was blind, I don't need a word of knowledge to know that he needs his son. Jesus knows what each and every person has need of. He is asking to make certain that your faith can operate in what you're believing that you have need of. I may have not said that correctly. But Jesus knows what my son needs. Whether I know or not, Jesus knows. So I see Jesus and talk to God about what he needs. I don't base off of what I see what he needs. How many times do we base things off of the fruit that we see? But when we ask the Lord, he gives us the root cause of things. And he helps us deal with things from the very root of a situation instead of the fruit of a situation. Yeah. Many times, we have to ask the Lord, show me. Show me, Lord, show me this morning what your people have need of. This is what he showed me. Not necessarily physically blind, but mentally blind, emotionally blind. Looking at things that they need not be a part of. Being a part of things you shouldn't be a part of. That's what he's telling me for the church. Believing things that aren't fully what God says or God's word says they are. But getting the Word of God into people in such a way that they can see through the eyes of faith the truth, see it, grab a hold of it, and walk in it. Amen. And get the victory. Yes. The testimony about knowing what the Word of God says, being in fellowship, being in union with God, allows you to flow in a way and know you're going in the right direction. When you're going in the right direction with God, you're getting confirmation from godly people you're headed in the right direction. That's right. If you're not in a place that people are not encouraging you and speaking into your life, that's a bad place to be. It's good to have men and women of God speaking into your life, seeing the same vision you have, confirming your vision. If nobody's ever confirmed your vision, or God has not confirmed your vision, you need to change your vision. Okay. What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. So there he is. He spoke what he was believing for. He wanted to receive his sight. And he cried out by faith. And Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. So Jesus didn't come over there, lay hands on him this time, or throw mud, spit in the ground, rub it together, put it on his face. He did that other times. But this time, notice what he did. What do you want me to do for you? So I pose the question to you, church. What do you want Jesus, the Messiah, to do for you? What do you want him to do for you? Is there something that you're going through? Is there a struggle? What are you praying for? What are you believing for? It's like Jesus is standing up here. Son and daughter, what is it that you have need of? Here I am. As you cry out to me, I'm going to give you the desire of your heart. I'm going to reveal myself to you. I'm going to heal your body. Thank you, Lord. In prayer, I ponder at times why in the Western church we don't see the miracles that they see in other places. And I always go back to the same thing. Two things. Comfort. We're comfortable in the Western church with the way things are. And number two, we're not desperate enough. There's not an urgency on the inside because everything's okay. We're getting by. My bills are paid. Things are good. My family's safe. I don't have need of anything. When you get the eyes of God, it's not about you at all. Jesus didn't come to fulfill his ministry. He came to fulfill the Father's will. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here. Not for our ministry, not for our glory, but for God's glory and for his ministry, for his kingdom and his will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to see yourself the way God sees you. I don't want you to let what people have said, naysayers, rebuke you and say, well, you can't believe for that. That's too big. You can't have that. That's too big. You can't walk in that. That ministry, I've heard it time and time again. We've tried that already. It didn't work. Who was with you when you tried it is the question. Who was with you when you tried it? From this day forward, you're not trying by yourself. You're working with God, both to do and to will of his good pleasure. Every head bow, every eye closed. It's never worked in this area before. We've never seen it like that before. That's going to cost a lot of money. Our family's never done it like that before. No one's been a minister in our family before. The list goes on and on and on. My marriage didn't work. Yours won't either. My kids were this, this, and this. Good luck. All these words spoken of negativity out of God's will. His word doesn't say anything like that. The impossible that people speak is possible with God. The blindness of the man is the same as the blindness of the world. It can only do what it knows to do. He could only do what he heard, which was beg, when he heard people coming. But there was more when Jesus showed up. The miracle was present when Jesus showed up. Jesus is here this morning. Jesus is here with you. And if you're a child of God, accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus isn't just passing by. Jesus is living on the inside of you. When you see yourself as a child of the Most High God, and you know that Jesus lives on the inside of you, His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, lives on the inside of you, and you have the mind of Christ, nothing is impossible. Jesus isn't just passing by on Sunday morning. Jesus lives in you all the day long. So a miracle isn't waiting for Sunday. You are a miracle about ready to break forth. Oh God. We are in the presence of a room full of miracles. A room full of miracles. A room full, a church filled with miracles. Not past miracles. Not future miracles. But now miracles. Jesus is not passing by. He lives on the inside of you. And you must call upon Him. Jesus! Son of God, have mercy on me. Jesus, I don't know how to deal with this situation. Jesus, I do not understand what is happening in this day, in this hour. Jesus, I don't know how to communicate with my spouse. Jesus, I don't know how to communicate with my children. Jesus, I don't know how to handle my boss and work with that person. Jesus, show me how to love my neighbor. Jesus, give me the eyes of the kingdom of God. Holy Spirit, reveal to me the truth in the matter. Each and every person under the sound of my voice, even online, is dealing with things. Dealing with situations. God is present to reveal His heart to you and show you and give you vision for the provision. Holy Spirit, reveal it right now. In Jesus' name. Touch each and every person under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name. Give them vision for their situation. Give them vision for provision. Show them the next step. Reveal to them the remedy. Reveal the healing that needs to take place. Reveal the broken heart that needs to be mended. Make ready, Lord, your people in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, for anyone that has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, does not even understand the kingdom of heaven, doesn't understand church, doesn't understand as they open the Bible, it looks like another book, doesn't understand their purpose in life, doesn't even know if there is a God. Holy Spirit, I pray, as you speak to them now, the need for a Savior, the need for Jesus. All around the world, or anyone right before us present, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Your life will be supernaturally changed when Jesus shows up and passes by. Do not let the Lord pass by one more day. Do not let the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of mankind, the bridge to heaven, the way to have peace with God, the free ticket to heaven pass you by one more day, the get out of hell free card. Do not let it pass you by one more day. Receive Him. Cry out to Him. Dear Lord Jesus, my Lord and my Savior, come. Redeem me from my sin. Take out the stony heart and give me a heart of flesh. I give my heart to You, Lord. Thank You for saving me now. Thank You for dying on the cross. Thank You for redeeming me from destruction. Purchasing my sin so I can have peace with God. So when I lay my head down tonight, I can lay my head down in peace, knowing that if I were to breathe my last breath, it may be my last breath here in this world, but I have an eternity in heaven that I have surety in. Thank You, God, for saving me now. A peace flooding my soul right now. As for the church, allow His peace to flood your soul right now. As you lift your eyes to heaven and see your miracle, see your healing, see your provision, see the blessing, see yourself in a greater light. Father, I thank You for each and every one here. Thank You for joining us online. Bless you. We love you. Have a great week. For everyone here, if you could stand to your feet. Lift your hands to heaven, because that's where your help comes from. I believe that this message today was meaningful. That it's piercing even the innermost parts of your thoughts, your will, your emotions. That it's touching every fiber of your body. That your life is not your own, it's bought with a price. That you can see yourself as an overcomer. That you can see yourself totally made whole, without lack in any area. Oh God, You are a God of more than enough. See yourself as the head and not the tail. Yes. Hallelujah. See yourself as a victor, not as a defeat. See yourself free, not enslaved. See yourself in the promised land, not in Egypt. See yourself as a child of God, not a child of the devil. See your future as heaven, not as hell. Oh, glory to God. What you see is what you get. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. What you see is what you get. What are you looking at? What do you see yourself? Oh, church, see yourself as above and not beneath. Yes. See yourself rising. See yourself being lifted up. See yourself walking in light, not in darkness. Oh, God. Thank You, Lord, church. Thank You. They're getting a hold of it, Lord. They're seeing themselves in a greater way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are not the same. You are never the same in Jesus' name. The Lord is helping you. The Spirit of God is with you. The Word of God is your sword. The shield of faith is your protection from the fiery darts. The helmet of salvation is keeping your mind in check, focused on heavenly things. The breastplate of righteousness. You are a child of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. The belt of truth. Everything is held together by truth. Sometimes you get visions of things you wish you didn't get. Hallelujah. The belt of truth is locked in place. your feet are protected. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're an overcomer, church. You've already overcome because of the one that lives in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. The blinders are coming off. I didn't even get to that. The smoke screen is being removed. The veil is being removed. Your sight is coming back. Words that were, this is a prophetic word for somebody. Words that of the word of God that was spoken over you in earlier years, you're seeing it again. Fresh vision of the word of the Lord. Fresh vision of the word that the Lord spoke to you. He is refreshing that fire that He spoke to you that you gave up on and you thought would never come to pass. Get ready. It's going to come to pass quicker than you think it's going to come to pass. Hallelujah. See yourself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's yours, brother. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. A fresh fire to see. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The well is being primed. The river is flowing. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take it, church. Take it, church. Hallelujah. It's yours. It is yours if you want it. Hallelujah. You got to see yourself in the place God sees you. Stop backing down. Stop bowing down to what the world is saying and stand in the place that God has for you. The victory is yours. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's yours. It is yours, and it's up to you to walk in it. Just like the blind man. No one else helped him. Not one person helped him come to Jesus. Not one person encouraged him. Yet you're in a fellowship of believers that loves you and is rallying with you to say, you can do it. You can take that ground. You can extend that tent peg. You can walk in that ministry that God has for you. You're an overcomer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The person next to you is cheering you on. Hallelujah. The leadership and the pastors of this church, the intercessors, they're cheering you on. You're not alone. You're not a blind beggar by yourself. You wear the victor's crown. And if you need help, I want you to come forward. If you feel like you're the blind man and you're in it alone, I want you to come forward. And the love of God is going to touch you so powerfully, you're not going to understand or be able to stand in His presence. That's how much God loves you. That is how much He loves you. Hallelujah. You're in a place that is loved. There's zero judgment in this place. Zero. I will not put up with judgment. The leadership will not put up with judgment. Ha, shabroto shilekidi se. Ha. I put the enemy on notice. If he hadn't figured it out yet, you're not welcome anywhere near this place or this property. You shall not touch anyone in this church. Every single sheep will be protected in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come all the way up. Glory to God. There's plenty of room at the altar. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's love is available and overflowing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The touch of heaven. Lift your hands to heaven. That's where your help comes from. That's surrender. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lifting your hands is surrender. I give up. I give in. Lord, take my life. Use me. Heal me. Deliver me. Set me free. Hallelujah. Every person here is in agreement for what this man up here is standing here for. Glory to God. You deny me before man, I deny you before my Father, the Bible says. Hallelujah. We stand by faith with each other. No one's by themselves. You're not alone. Hallelujah. You've been bought and purchased by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you're loved. Let the fire of God flow through you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I say the past is done. The past is the past. There's nothing in the past that you want. Don't run back to the past. There's nothing there for you. In Jesus' mighty name. His love's in front of you. His love is for you. He's embracing you right now. In Jesus' name. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. In the mighty name of Jesus. Shabro mose le kiro kodise. Libro dose le kidise. Ha shembro dose. Don't fight it any longer. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't even wrestle against principalities and powers because they're defeated too. Jesus. There it is. Jesus. It's in Him. It's in Him. Jesus. 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 Let His love wash over you. Never the same in Jesus' name. I'm not talking about a religious thing. I'm not talking about showing up for certain things. I'm not talking anything that works. This is spiritual. Jesus. This is spirit. This is the grace of God. Grace of God. Never the same. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hold on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We're going to tag team that here. I know that wasn't his plan, but I just have the scripture in my heart about, because I love when people say, you guys always talk about money. Do you know how many times this man forgets to take the offering? But I know that you all love to give.
Amen.
Yes? So I just got the scripture in my heart. In Luke 6:38, it says, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as you give, it's coming down, pressed down, shaken together. How many of you ever had to do like, I don't know, I can't think of anything right now. And you shake it around, and it gets, you get a little bit more room, and you get a little bit more room, and then it's going to overflow. Praise God. So how many of you are ready to give to the Lord this morning? We have the graphic up there. I just want to remind you, we have the outreach that you can give to. That's good ground to sow into. We're believing for many souls to come into the kingdom. That outreach is charged, we're believing for over $1,000 to come in for all the giveaways and everything we're doing. We've been advertising, we've done signs, so you can mark your, what you want to give towards that as the outreach, and then also, obviously, anything else in your tithe. Also, we're believing God to take the youth this Friday out. So if you want to give to that, you can give to that as well. So we have a mailing address. You can text. You can scan the QR codes. to give those ways too. But you know, you just need to know that when you plant your seed in the ground, there is a harvest coming back. Hallelujah. And the same measure, you don't give grudgingly, just give with a cheerful heart. And I had a vision the other day, and I started to share it last week, and I saw, like, with the tithe, there was a section for every person's tithe in the garden, and you brought it to the church, and the church was provided for from that garden. But when you gave an offering, hear me out, ha ha ha, when you gave an offering in that garden, the harvest popped up in your garden at home. Praise God. And it provided for you, and it provided for the church. So I'm telling you, there's place for you to give your seed. The Lord has ground for you to plant into, and you should be expecting a harvest. Just like Pastor said this morning, putting demand. The Bible says that you will reap. So you put a demand on that and know, thank you, Lord, as I give my tithe, all my bills are taken care of. Thank you, Lord, as I give this offering, it's coming back to me 30, 60, 100-fold. Amen? Amen? Praise God. So ushers, if you want to come forward to serve the people, and you can go ahead and serve them. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the harvest that is coming in, Lord. Not just the harvest in the natural, but the harvest in the spirit, Lord. Thank you for the many souls that are going to be touched as this harvest goes forth. Thank you for the people that are going to be fed in other countries from the seed that is coming in. Thank you for the people right here that are going to be fed in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the multiplication. Thank you, Lord, for increase. In everything each person is sowing, thank you for an increase in their giving, that it's coming back to them. Thank you, Lord, for bills just being erased in Jesus' name. Thank you for debt being erased in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this seed right here. I pray your blessing over this seed. I thank you, Lord, for 30, 60, 100-fold. I thank you for multiplication, Father God. Woo! I thank you for the return. It's so much they can't receive it. They know they just got to keep giving. And as they keep giving, just like the woman with the oil, it never runs out. Hallelujah, because you give seed to the sower. So, Lord, I thank you even for the seed that's coming as they've sown, for the next seed that's coming to be sown. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of overflow, and we release that now in the mighty name of Jesus. We commit this to you. Amen. 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 Praise God. So what do you got?
I don't have anything. I love you very much. We are going to
we're gonna have cake. We need some guys to help set up tables.
We're gonna have cake in the back to celebrate the baby dedication. But we also need some of the ushers and gentlemen. We're going to set up tables, and we're going to pack bags for our outreach. So, listen, love every one of you, but I'm telling you, packing bags is way better than packing thousands of eggs. So you can always find a positive in every situation. Yes. Yes. So we got to pack a couple hundred bags, is it?
Yeah, I don't know where I'm looking for Jeannie's face.
200 bags.
Next.
Yeah, many hands make light work. We're going to get it done. There's lunch provided.
It's by category, so wait until we have it set up. Don't just start going at it. Wait for, but we're going to eat first.
Okay. Be blessed. If you need to go, we understand.
That's right.
But if you can give us 20 minutes, half hour of your time, it's going to be sowing seed into many, many younger people.
Thank you.
Amen. Bless you. Love you. Have a great day.
Yeah.